Connecting. Try one more time. No, I have to go to Alphabet Soup, play.
Yep, there we go.
B-A-T-F.
Girl.
I-R-S.
All right. We'll let the music play. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here, along with Pastor Steve, and this is Tax Day, April 15, 2018. And pay more than you owe. Be a good little citizen and pay more than you owe, and make the Jews even richer than they are. Welcome to Bloodlines, folks, and today we're going to be starting a series on Maccabees. Finally,
isn't that a cookie?
Yeah.
A Maccabee?
Yeah, right.
Oh, no. Okay. First, that's a macaroon. I'm sorry.
First and second macaroons. Yes. And so I think I figured out how to solve the broadcaster problems. Had to do some experimenting this morning.
Uncle Stevie had to tell him what to say.
Right. Yeah. I had to kill Butt altogether and restart it from scratch, and that did the trick, and we're back on. All right, folks. We're learning. We're still learning. These computers can't live with them, can't live without them. But in any case, we are on the air, and thank you all for joining us again today on Eurofolk Radio. And I want to start, unless Pastor Steve, you have any thing to say about your Passover feast, because I've been telling people about my experience. If you
I know you had
fun and you were sharpening your sword.
I limited out on trout a couple of times.
Oh really? Oh wow!
And Leroy and Marilyn and Cora were there.
Uh huh.
And Patrick and Brenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
we had
that was just marvelous.
Yes.
I have a comment. You know, I've had problems with this diabetes since my operation and stuff. I'm taking this stuff that Jim Ram advertises on DIY Health, and my blood sugar is back down to normal. Okay, just with the days that I've been taking it, it was usually 300 and something in the mornings.
Uh-huh.
It was about 150. It's been down around 100. That's normal range. Okay, so the stuff that Jim Ram is promoting works.
Very good.
Okay, I will say that right now, and I want to thank Patrick so much for getting me a big double dose of that stuff, and I've been taking it faithfully. And thank you.
Yes, yeah.
What a blessing! That's brotherhood, you know.
Amen.
And we had some nice fires and sat around and drank coffee and water and
right
just. A very fulfilling. Keep the feasts.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. The fellowship is outstanding. Yes.
Well, Brother Hebert says about Ram's Judeo-ness.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm not talking about his theology. I'm talking about the stuff that he's promoting.
Yeah, the health foods.
The health stuff. That works. We're not going to get everybody on EFR. that's always on the same page. Mm-hmm. We do the very, very best we can. But you realize how hard it is to find hosts. We've had a problem. Michael Swede is on hold temporarily. We don't know why. That gives cause for concern.
Right.
Lion of the North wasn't on this morning. That doesn't sound good, okay?
Yeah hopefully he's not being censored.
We don't know why, so we're not going to put out a bunch of wild rumors. The fact is that he's on hold.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything else. We don't know the reason why. We are not given a reason, but it's not on.
Okay. So until we get further news from Michael himself, we won't, you know, speculate as to why.
Yeah, but there's too much wild rumor. Yeah. And with all the crap that's going on in Syria.
Yeah.
The problem is solved in one day, right? That's what Trump said.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They shot down all their drones. I mean, they got their asses kicked over there. Pardon my French. Syria's still standing. They may have blew up a few things, so they say, on the mainstream Jew media. But do you really believe any of that stuff, folks? Do you truly believe what they're putting out? Until we get on-the-scene eyewitness reports, maybe from Russia Today, RT?
Maybe, yes. It's like
we won't know.
Than Jews.
Fake news now. They're going to tell you what they want you to hear and nothing more.
Right.
Fear porn. Oh, we're going to have, and Russia's going to do this, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. Oh, oy vey.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Well, the war machine must carry on, right? And so Trump
Sure they shot off millions and millions of dollars worth of cruise missiles.
That's right.
Which they will have to replace from the military-industrial complex.
Amen.
Thank you very much for your donations.
Yeah, right. Just a quick update on that. Trump declares mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we made money.
Yeah. And the Jews are so disappointed. They wanted him to keep on bombing, right? But here, just real quickly, folks. Washington, President Donald Trump on Saturday declared mission accomplished for a U.S.-led Allied missile attack on Syria's chemical weapons program. But the Pentagon said that the pummeling of three chemical-related facilities left enough others intact to enable the Assad government to use banned weapons against civilians if it chooses. If, that's assuming that Assad did the chemical attack in the first place, which he didn't.
Well, that reminds me of that old song by the Beach Boys.
Uh-huh.
You remember that one?
You'll have fun, fun, fun.
Bomb, 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 Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. That's next.
Right.
That's next, folks.
Bomber Ann.
Well, it's bomb, 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 Syria. Iran is next. Dua. it's an ongoing Jewish comedy.
That's right, yeah. But it's real blood and guts, right? And we'll have fun, fun, fun till your daddy takes your bombers away. This is a joke, folks. It's an absolute
pray
joke.
Pray for Yeshua's speedy return. Wars and rumors of wars.
Okay.
Lies.
Yeah. So Trump is playing this this game. That, you know, I guess he has to keep the Jews happy, so he did a one-day strike. A quote, a perfectly executed strike, unquote, Trump tweeted after U.S., French, and British warplanes and ships launched more than 100 missiles nearly unopposed by Syrian air defenses. Quote, could not have a better result, mission accomplished, unquote. So what has been accomplished? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well,
but,
is it like that aspirin factory that they bombed?
Yeah, right, that chemical factory.
Chemical weapons. And right. that was over in Iraq, wasn't it?
Yeah, right.
They bombed weapons factory.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
And I did a show yesterday on Restoration Hour analyzing all of the fake news that we've been subjected to as a prelude to this bombing of Syria. I played a show by Dr. Busby, who said that the gas attack in London or in Britain was staged as fake. The gas actually came from a laboratory in the United States, not from Russia. This is all demonization of Russia and Syria, folks. That's all it is. That's all it is. And then Trump took the bait.
Well, it will justify new war expenditures.
That's
it's
right.
It's about the money. Follow the money.
Amen. Amen. That's what
Show
it
me the money.
Right. That's right.
Oh,
yes.
Please.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have to endure that. How, Father Yahweh, how long must we endure this business, this ridiculous war, fake war, time after time after time, phony war after phony war after phony war? Okay.
Oh, before I forget, I also want to thank Doc Waterman for sending me the comfort cream and the Disgration. I told him on the Discord the other night when we were chatting.
Yeah, right.
That stuff tastes nasty. Oh, it's horrible. But the comfort cream works. Man, I'll tell you what, just healing up. I had a rash on my feet. All this stuff is resultant from the surgery. I picked something up in the hospital. Hospital is the most unclean place to be. So
yeah, that's why they give you antibiotics constantly, and the antibiotics will give you candida.
Well,
so so you have to go back on a natural diet as soon as possible from getting out of the hospital, right? That's the best advice we can give if you have to go to the hospital.
I have seen Brotherhood, real Brotherhood, from some very, very good people.
Yeah, it's brotherly love, folks. That's
and,
what
and, these people. It's not fake. They're not trying to get something out of anybody. They're trying to help.
Yes, yes.
So this is what Christian identity is supposed to be about.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Amen. It's all about brotherly love. It's about teaching the message of the Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Israelites and our relationship with Yahweh and keeping his laws.
Our obedience.
Amen.
Yes.
Obedience. That's the title of a song I wrote that I want David and myself to record once he's relocated. But we have to build a studio first. So David, I'm looking forward.
Oh, that'll be David's first priority.
right.
But yeah. There's another guy that has helped.
Yeah, amen.
It's David amen. James. People don't know what David has done. And people don't know what Paul English has done.
Yeah.
All this stuff is behind the scenes. Okay? Nobody sees it, but they see the results of it.
Yeah, and the hours they put in to keep this radio station going. They're the two technical wizards behind the scenes.
Have been under concerted attack because we are so effective.
That's right. Amen. Amen, brother. Okay. All right. So let's get into, let's first do an introduction to the Apocrypha. And I'll just be reading from this website. In fact, I'll put this in the chat room later because I don't want to lose my place here. Apocrypha, this is the online Bible study tools, dictionaries, Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. The Apocrypha. Apocrypha comes from the Greek word apocrypha, spelled with a K instead of a C. Otherwise, it's exactly the same as the English, which means things that are hidden, comma, secret. The Apocrypha refers to two collections of ancient Jewish, they say, we know that's incorrect, Judaite is the correct word, and Christian writings that have certain affinities with the various books of the Old Testament, and New Testament, but were not canonized by Christians as a whole. Well, we can talk about the canonization of what we have by the Roman Catholic Church, right? So what is that worth? Not much. The Old Testament Apocrypha, which are still viewed as canonical by some Christians, that includes those of us in Christian identity, and the New Testament Apocrypha, which are not. Let me just say something real quick here about, I'm not sure what he means by New Testament Apocrypha. I haven't encountered that expression before, but if he's talking about the Gnostic literature, then that Gnostic literature is a mixed bag, such as the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Yea, the Gospel of None, okay? If they don't agree, if there's radical departures, and this is true of the Old Testament Apocrypha as well, if there are radical departures of doctrine between the Apocrypha and the Bible, then we just, you know, we don't have much to do with that, because that's too much trouble to try to decipher why there's such a radical departure. However, regarding the Apocrypha in the King James and in the Catholic Bibles, which are commonly known as the intertestamental period, the writings of the intertestamental period, those are valid literature. I personally have not found any conflict between those Apocrypha and the Bible. How about you, Pastor Steve?
They are more of a historical nature, like I did with Jasher, and I quoted all the references where Jasher coincides with Scripture. When I did the book of Jasher, I'm doing that with all the Apocrypha. Now, I'm not going to do Maccabees on my word for word, because Eli and I are going to do them here. Same way I'm not doing 2nd Esdras, because Eli, Greg, and I are doing them. And I will put links to all of those.
Very good.
The blow-by-blow mm-hmm. descriptions.
Yes. Okay.
I'll put those on my website to links. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Matter of fact, I have the files, therefore I'll just put the files on.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, now the only differences I find in the apocryphal books is that they add additional information that is not contained in the Bible, and none of which I have found to contradict the Bible, okay? But a lot of the New Testament so-called apocrypha here, the Gnostic literature, does in fact contradict statements made in the New Testament. That's why that's unreliable. And here's the reason why. The vast majority of Gnostic literature was an attempt to blend Greek mythology with the emerging New Testament. Okay? That's the reason why the Gnostic Gospels, so-called, are unreliable. They're an attempt, and Paul talks about this in a couple of his epistles, they're trying to introduce Greek mythology into the scriptures and blend the two together, just as the Roman Catholic Church blended paganism with the New Testament and the Bible.
You beat me to the punch.
Okay.
I was coming in right behind you on that.
Right, yeah. Right. So that's that. And so we cannot rely on Gnostic literature. There may be some good information in there, you know, so I wouldn't reject it out of hand, but you have to be really careful and spot the, you know, mythology. And that's what Paul meant by we shouldn't be relying on the what was the term he used, Pastor Steve? He used a brilliant term to describe the
doubtful disputations.
Yeah, the disputations of doubtful theology. That's what he was referring to. He was referring to the Gnostic Gospels and the lineages. Okay, the doubtful lineages. So he wasn't talking about the Bible. He was referring to the Greek. The Greeks had this tradition of maintaining that they were descended from the gods. The gods and the goddesses of the Greek right. pantheon.
Brother Hebert says endless genealogies.
There you go. Thank you, Brother Hebert. That's Paul is referring not to the biblical genealogies. He's referring to the Greek mythological genealogies, okay? So there is no contradiction in the New Testament. The New Testament does not tell us not to look at our genealogy. It affirms, Paul over and over affirms that he's an Israelite, and he's preaching to Israelites, okay? All right, let's continue here. A couple more paragraphs. The Old Testament Apocrypha, often referred to simply as the Apocrypha, is a collection of not Jewish but Judahite books that are included in the Old Testament canons of Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox Christians, but not of Protestants. But that's not true, because the original King James Version has most of these Apocrypha as well. Okay? Most of the books were composed in Hebrew prior to the Christian era, but they apparently never were accepted by the Jews. That's true. It's never accepted by the Jews, but it was accepted by the Judahites as part of the Hebrew canon. At an early date, they were translated into Greek, and in this form came to be used by Christians as early as the end of the first century. They were eventually included in Christian copies of the Old Greek Old Testament, and later the Latin Vulgate. The Protestant reformers, while affirming the unique authority of the Hebrew canon, allowed that the books of the Apocrypha were useful for reading. Though they're more than useful, they're tremendous history. Over time, however, the Apocrypha has fallen into disuse among Protestants, and that's a shame, and we're trying to correct that. That's a fault of Protestantism. One more paragraph. The Roman Catholic Apocrypha consists of Tobit, Judith, the additions to Esther, the additions to Daniel, the prayer of Azariah and the three young men, Susanna and Bel, the dragon, the wisdom of Solomon. And I found the Wisdom of Solomon to be an outstanding book.
I'm doing that now.
Uh-huh. It is just a really
What it has in mind, it has the three Jews, not the three young men.
Yeah.
that would be fault.
Okay.
That would be Judahites.
Right. So we have the same problem with the Apocrypha that we have with the traditional Bible, is that the Judeos referred to Judahites as Jews, which is a false designation. We have the same problem with the Apocrypha. Okay. So you just have to be aware of that and act accordingly. All right. So, in essence, the Apocrypha are the writings that were written, composed, some of them actually were composed before the intertestamental period and rediscovered and included in the Apocrypha, but the vast majority of them were composed during the intertestamental period, as we will find out as we get into the book of Maccabees, because that's the history of the intertestamental period. Over to you, Pastor Steve.
It's all about the Hyrcanus regime.
Right.
The machinations that went along with it. Their little inclusion of Edomites.
Right. Now we're talking about Jews, right?
Well, now that gave us problems.
Mm-hmm.
They let them in, okay? And that was the beginning.
Yes, of Judaism.
Of the end.
Our people got so mixed up with Edomites in that last period under John Hyrcanus and then under Herod.
Herod was an Edomite.
Yes, he was. Yeah, and it was thanks to John Hyrcanus that Herod was able to come in. Okay? This is what happens when we let Jews into our congregation. We're not to do that, folks. No. Even Paul says we're not to let infidels in amongst us, okay? Jews are unbelievers to begin with, not to mention that they're not Israelites, but they're unbelievers. We're not to have anything to do with unbelievers, according to Paul. What don't the churches understand?
Well, they don't understand a lot, evidently. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version of 1 Maccabees.
And you've got you have the King James with the Apocrypha?
Yes. And your version is what? You have a different, because we want to compare.
I have the New Revised Standard Version.
Okay.
A lot of people call that the Catholic Bible.
I see.
But it is not.
Okay.
And I have copious notes that I have made over the years.
Yes.
I had this Bible while I was locked up. This is one that they did not get a chance to destroy.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I was able to bring it out with me.
Yeah. Let me just read the first verse here, because this is the old King James in archaic English, but Pastor Steve is going to be doing the main reading from his Bible. It reads, "And it happened after that Alexander, son, S-O-N-N-E, the old-fashioned spelling of the word son, of Philip the Macedonian, who came out of the land of Chetum, C-H-E-T-T-U-M, had smitten Darius the king of the Persians and Medes, that he, H-E-E, reigned in his stead, the first over Greece," and it's O-U-E-R, because the letter V was not in existence yet, okay? So this is what you're dealing with the original 1611 King James. It's in this archaic language. But, you know, we know about the changes, so you shouldn't have any difficulty reading this. Over to you, Pastor Steve.
All right. Where do you want me to start, brother?
Chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go.
All right. This is chapter 1, verse 1. This is Alexander the Great, okay?
Mm-hmm.
"After Alexander, son of Philip, the Macedonian, who came from the land of Kittim," K-I-T-T-I-M.
That has to be Greece. It has to be the old term for Greek.
Yes, okay. I would say.
Yeah,
had defeated King Darius of the Persians and the Medes. That would be Asher in the Hebrew. Persia is Asher.
Okay.
Okay. And he succeeded him.
Yeah.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. He succeeded him as king.
First over Greece.
He brought in his stealth fighters and the drones.
Right.
And he defeated him.
And bombed all the chemical labs.
Bombed all the chemical labs.
As you said, the aspirin factories.
The aspirin factories,
yeah,
yes.
Right.
He had previously become king of Greece. Now, okay. Greece is Yawan,
uh-huh,
in the Hebrew. Okay. He fought many battles, conquered strongholds, and put to death the kings of the earth. Well, the lands.
Okay. So far, this
the whole world.
Right. So far, this is perfectly accurate history. All right. Again, what we've been telling you about the Apocrypha is that they verify the Bible and sometimes they provide additional information that's not contained in the Bible, but never contradict it. All right? That's the test. No contradictions. Back
okay.
to you.
Well, earth would be Eretz,
mm-hmm,
in Hebrew, and it means the land.
Right.
Okay. He advanced to the ends of the earth. That would be to the ends of the land, the known lands, mm-hmm, okay?
Yes.
He didn't come across the sea and conquer the Indian tribes or whatever was here.
In America, right.
Right. That was the known world.
At the time.
At those locations.
Yeah, and we're talking around 350 B.C., 330 B.C., something like that.
Right.
Okay.
When the earth became quiet before him, that be the lands, he was exalted and his heart was lifted up. In other words, his ego came into
play.
Yeah,
right.
He gathered a very strong army and ruled over countries, nations, and princes, and they became tributary to him. Verse 5. Leroy definitely wants us to give verse numbers.
Okay.
At least periodically.
Yeah.
So they can read along with
us. I see. Okay, very good.
After this, he fell sick and perceived that he was dying. So he summoned his most honored officers, who had been brought up with him from youth, and divided his kingdom among them while he was still alive.
Now remember, this was prophesied in the book of Daniel.
Right.
And we're going to find out in this book that Alexander himself read the book of Daniel when he invaded Jerusalem but did not conquer it. He left the Israelites alone. Back to you.
Right. Verse 7. And after Alexander had reigned 12 years, he died. Verse 8. Then his officers began to rule, each in his own place. In other words, wherever he gave them to rule. They all put on crowns after his death, and so did their descendants after them for many years, and they caused many evils on the earth. In other words, in the lands.
Yes.
Now we have the story of Antiochus Epiphanes and renegade Judahites.
Mm-hmm.
They have Jews here.
Yeah, right.
But that's an error.
Yes, that's an error.
Now, when I say the word Gentiles here, it means the Greeks or nations. Okay, different nations. Okay.
Yes.
This occurs in 75 B.C. Okay, this is the date that's given.
For what, the events here, or the writing?
Events that I'm reading right now.
Okay.
From them came forth a sinful root, Antiochus Epiphanes, son of King Antiochus. He had been a hostage in Rome. He began to reign in the 137th year of the kingdom of the Greeks. Okay, that's what it has here.
Okay.
That, with the note here, is 75.
Hmm.
Now, wait a minute. 175.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I was getting ready to say there's a problem there.
175. Yeah, that I made a little circle and it covered up the one.
Okay.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I'll make a note. Okay.
Now, where does you said the word Jew was used somewhere there? Because I don't see it in this text.
And it's in a title before this.
Oh, okay. So that's a Judeo-Christian.
Verse 11, in those days, certain renegades came out from Israel and misled many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the Gentiles, that would be the nations, around us. For since we separated from them, many disasters have come upon us.
Okay, hold on. Let me read the King James Version here. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men. So it's identifying these wicked men as being Israelites, who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the heathen, it has here, which is correct, because we were talking about the heathen Greeks that are round about us, for since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow. And that's their conclusion. That's what they're saying, these renegades, as your version
correct.
Says. Okay?
Correct.
So I would say here the King James is more accurate. Go ahead.
All right. This is verse 12. This proposal pleased them. Verse 13. And some of the people eagerly went to the king, who authorized them to observe the ordinances of the nations. It would be his Gentiles here.
Right.
That would be Greeks.
Right.
Now, here we go. Just a second. So they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem according to as Gentile custom. That's Greek custom. All right, stop here. The Greeks were big on sports and bodybuilding and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Exercise.
Yeah.
They worship the body.
Yes.
Okay. They were very big on that. So
we're still playing the Olympic Games today.
That's correct. That's what they're describing.
Right.
Here, they're speaking of the Greek nations.
Yes.
Those that had Greek influence, where they had all the gymnasiums, where they would train and have sports events, and like Colosseums, like in Rome. That was a carryover from the Greeks. They mm-hmm. influenced the Romans.
That's right. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Which were the Zara branch of Yehuda. So all of this ties in, and this is documented fact.
Yeah.
In all the history books, all this, this is not just here. It's all over the place. Okay, verse 15, and removed the marks of circumcision, those that were Hellenized Israelites,
right?
That means the Greek, were not circumcised. Now, in Yeshua's time, they had problems because they were dealing with Hellenized Israelites.
That's right.
They were still Israelites,
mm-hmm.
but some of the apostles didn't want to sit and eat with them because they weren't circumcised.
Right, yeah, including Peter.
That's
right. That's right. That's right.
And remove the marks of circumcision and abandon the Holy Covenant.
Whoa. Whoa.
They joined with the Greeks or nations and sold themselves to do evil. They paganized, in other words.
Right. Yes.
That was verse 15.
And they may have actually literally sold themselves into slavery to these Greeks in order to avoid persecution by the Greeks, right?
What this means here is they copied their customs.
Okay.
That's what they're talking about. Now, here is Antiochus in Egypt, or Mizraim.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16. When Antiochus saw that his kingdom was established, he determined to become king of the land of Egypt, or Mitzrayim in Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
in order that he might reign over both kingdoms. He was king of Greece and Egypt. That's what he wanted to be. So, verse 17, so he invaded Egypt. I'm just going to say Egypt because
yeah,
this is written in Greek. They didn't use the word Mitzrayim. Okay. So he invaded Egypt with a strong force, with chariots and elephants. Same thing Alexander used to go over the Pyrenees and the Alps and stuff. Mm-hmm. With chariots and elephants and cavalry and with a large fleet. Verse 18. He engaged King Ptolemy, that's Ptolemy, the P is silent, King Ptolemy of Egypt in battle, and Ptolemy turned and fled before him, and many were wounded and fell. Verse 19. They captured the fortified cities in the land of Egypt, and he plundered the land of Egypt.
Okay, now hold on just one second here, because the Ptolemies were the Greek kings of Egypt. So this would be an internecine war. One of the generals appointed by Alexander attacked another one of the generals appointed by Alexander.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's correct. They fought among themselves. Yep.
Very good.
Just like the Jewish sects today throw each other under the bus.
Right. Yes,
you
they
know,
do.
The Hasidics will throw the Reform and et cetera. They will be cannon fodder to them. So that's
right.
Fine.
Okay.
This is persecution of the Judahites. Verse 20. After subduing Egypt, Antiochus returned in the 143rd year, and that is 169 B.C. He went up against Israel and came to Jerusalem with a strong force. Verse 21. He arrogantly entered the sanctuary and took the golden altar, the lampstand for the light, and all its utensils. All right. They put statues of the Greek gods in the temple.
Okay.
That I want to let you know that right now, because there's going to be a purification.
That's right.
Later. Okay. Verse 22, he took also the table for the bread of the presence, that's the showbread, okay, the cups for drink offerings, the bowls, the golden censers, the curtain, the crowns, and the gold decoration on the front of the temple. He stripped it all off. Verse 23.
So you can imagine how the righteous Judahites felt about all of this, right?
Oh, boy.
Okay. Yeah. That's what the book of Maccabees is all about, the struggle between the righteous Judahites versus these renegades
right.
that we just read about. Please continue.
Apostatized.
That's right.
Hellenized Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 23. He took the silver and the gold and the costly vessels. He took also the hidden treasures that he found. Verse 24, taking them all, he went into his own land. Now, this is some kind of poem or whatever it is. It's the last part of verse 24.
Okay.
Through 28. He shed much blood and spoke with great arrogance. Verse 25. Israel mourned deeply in every community. Verse 26. Rulers and elders groaned. Young women and young men became faint. The beauty of the women faded. Verse 27.
Ooh, you mean the Israelite women were more beautiful than the Greek women?
Well,
didn't Julius Caesar, upon seeing the Angles and the Saxons, he gave them the name Angels. They were so beautiful. That's how the Angles got their name. Back to you.
Pretty woman. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Verse 27. Every bridegroom took up the lament. She who sat in the bridal chamber was mourning. Verse 28. Even the land trembled for its inhabitants, and all the house of Jacob, or Jacob, was clothed with shame. So that ends that little section. Now we have verse 29, and this is the occupation of Jerusalem. They have little titles to separate things here.
Okay. Yeah, the King James
does not
have that.
Which I find, it gives you a topic.
Right, yeah.
You know, which I like. I like
Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah. Sometimes they're wrong about the topic, but it gives you, identifies sections.
Let me get a hit of this coffee while it's still hot.
Okay, yes. And let me read verse 29 from the King James. Because I want to see if your version has the word Jew instead. And after 2 years fully expired, the king sent his chief collector of tribute unto the cities of Judah, or Judah, I-U-D-A, who came
right.
unto Jerusalem with a great multitude. How does yours read?
2 years later, the king sent to the cities of Judah.
Outstanding.
A chief collector of tribute
not
to
the,
came to Jerusalem
yes.
with a large force.
Not to the cities of the Jews, but
That's
to the
correct.
Cities of Judah. Thank you. Back to you.
Right.
Okay.
Verse 30. Deceitfully, he spoke peaceable words to them, and they believed him.
Mm.
But he suddenly fell upon the city and dealt it a very severe blow and destroyed many people of Israel.
Okay, we're talking about Israelites here, folks.
That's correct.
This is the value of the Apocrypha, where it unashamedly identifies the Israelites throughout. Now, Gentiles, as David mentioned in his...
That's Greek.
Yeah, that we sometimes Gentile is substituted and falsely made to appear that we're not talking about Israelites. But the study that David did a week ago Saturday proved that the vast majority of these references to Gentiles are actually references to Israelites in the Old Testament. So this is why the Judeo-Christian Bibles are so wrong. But back to you.
Right. Well, they were Israelites in dispersion.
Yes. But they're still Israelites.
And it should be read nations, dispersed nations of Israel.
Amen. Amen.
Because we founded many nations.
Amen. Okay? And the Jews never did. The Jews still haven't founded a nation. All right. No. Back to you.
All right. Verse 31. He plundered the city, burned it with fire, and tore down its houses and its surrounding walls. Verse 32. They took captive the women and children and seized the livestock. Verse 33. Then they fortified the city of David with a great strong wall and strong towers, and it became their citadel. So that wailing wall, etc., etc., is not a Hebrew wall. That is a Greek wall.
Right. Yep.
So bob your head and dominate that wall, you kikes.
Hey, we should,
fakers.
It just gave me an idea for another item. By the way, folks, very soon we will have not only the calendar, Brother Hebert's beautiful feast day calendar available, but T-shirts, actually shirts, full-sleeve shirts, given to us by Patrick.
I've got two of them. Yes, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I wore one to Walmart the other day. The looks I got. Oh, the Goyim Know. The Goyim Know.
Europhokeradio.com. The Goyim Know. The Goyim Know. And so those will be available very soon for a donation of $15. Thank you. And Paul and I will work on getting that information up on the website. Okay.
They're beautiful quality.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100% cotton.
Nice long sleeve.
Amen. And beautiful.
I've got mine hanging up already. I did the laundry and I washed them.
Uh-huh.
They were a little stiff because they were brand new.
Sure.
So I got all the starch out of them and put them through the dryer, and they're nice.
Yeah, they are really nice.
Verse 34, they stationed there a sinful people.
Mm. Yeah.
That is a race. 134 means race. The word used in the Greek is race.
Okay.
Men, that's why I told you I have all these notes, men who were renegades, these strengthened their position. Verse 35, they stored up arms and food, and collecting the spoils of Jerusalem, they stored them there and became a great menace.
Mm.
All right, that's what it says here.
Yeah.
And now we have this poetry deal again. Verse 36. For the citadel, and what do they have? They have a note.
Here they have sanctuary in the King James.
All right, here they, in the Greek, it has it, okay?
Yeah.
And it became an ambush against the sanctuary.
Okay.
An evil adversary of Israel at all times.
I see, to prevent righteous Judahites from entering the sanctuary.
Correct.
Okay. Very good.
Verse 37, on every side of the sanctuary they shed innocent blood. They even defiled the sanctuary. That's when they put their statues in there.
Right.
Verse 38, because of them the residents of Jerusalem fled. She became a dwelling of strangers. Okay, that would be racial aliens. She became strange to her offspring.
It's too bad.
Her children forsook her. Her mm-hmm. meaning Jerusalem. Okay,
that's right.
They feminized that.
Israel, right.
Right. Verse 39, her sanctuary became desolate like a desert. Her feasts, which we just kept, were turned into mourning. Her Shabbats, or Sabbaths, into a reproach, her honor into contempt. Verse 40, her dishonor now grew as great as her glory. Her exaltation was turned into mourning.
Now, Pastor Steve, doesn't everything we've read up to this point sound exactly like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel? Isn't the tone exactly the same?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say? I mean, this is all.
Yeah, it's Israelite literature.
Up. They wrote, and there were other writers that wrote. This is just the historical perspective here.
Yes.
That gives a blow by blow of the degradation of Israel and the temple. And the ensuing battle to reclaim it.
And it's all accurate history as verified by secular historians. This is true literature.
Eusebius and Josephus.
Yeah.
All these people. Now, those were historians. All right. Now, the next section says the installation of Gentile cults. Well, we mm-hmm. would be cults of the nations.
Right.
Verse 41. Then the king wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
Oh, like Napoleon.
Like a new world order. We yeah. should all have one religion, yeah, which
right?
is Satanism. All right. Mm-hmm. Verse 42. And that all should give up their particular customs. Like we shouldn't be Americans or Britons or Swedes.
Yeah, we should be U.S.
or
citizens.
Or French or Germans.
Right.
We should all be coffee-colored mutts, and we should all worship the Jews.
Citizen of the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 43, all the Gentiles it has here, and that would be nations or mm-hmm. Greeks, accepted the command of the king. That would be mm-hmm. the nations. Many even from Israel gladly adopted his religion.
Right. Judeo-Christian.
They sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. That's verse 43.
As most Christians do today. They're profaning the
and
Sabbath.
And they sacrifice. They yep. have the Ishtar, goddess of fertility day.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which they call Easter.
Right. And
instead
Christmas.
Of Passover.
Christmas is
and
not.
Christ Mass, the right. Requiem Mass for the dead Christ.
And they have imams and Jews and Gnostics and Buddhists preaching from the pulpits of these so-called Christian churches. It's happening again, folks.
What fellowship does light have with darkness?
Amen.
What can you say,
right?
Verse 44. And the king sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and the towns of Judah. He directed them to follow customs strange to the land. They were trying to introduce this garbage into Israel. verse 45, to forbid burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings in the sanctuary, to profane Sabbaths and festivals.
This is really a breath of fresh air, because you see in the Apocrypha, they will say the cities of Judah, which is the correct translation, and not the cities of the Jews, which is occurring in your otherwise parts of the King James. It should always be cities of Judah, not the Jews, okay? Because the Jews are a completely different people. Back to you.
Well, it wasn't predominantly Jews. They had a few, I'm sure.
Yeah, there were a few. Yeah.
They're Edomites.
Right. There were a few.
They were lurking about, but they weren't called Jews. To defile the sanctuary and the priests, verse 47, to build altars and sacred precincts and shrines for idols, to sacrifice swine and other unclean animals, verse 48, and to leave their sons uncircumcised. They were to make themselves abominable by everything unclean and profane, verse 49, so that they would forget the law and change all the ordinances.
Haven't the Judeo-Christians done the same thing, that they've made their congregations
forget
the law?
Well, then we have, we're not supposed to circumcise. Well, that's a law in Israel. That is a law in Israel. Now, I know there are those that are against circumcision, and I'm not gonna get into that. But I say, and I teach, it's a commandment, because it is. Verse 51. Oh, wait a minute. No, the 50. This is the last part.
Yeah, verse 50.
And whoever does not obey the command of the king shall die. Verse 51.
That's Antiochus.
In such words he wrote to his whole kingdom. He appointed inspectors over all the people and commanded the towns of Judah to offer sacrifice, town by town. That's
yes.
To these idols.
Now, notice it doesn't use the word Judea either. It says Judah.
Right.
Okay.
The territory of Judah.
Yeah, because Judea is another completely different word, which is a reference to the polyglot state that the Israelites were in later on. Okay.
And here we go.
Let's go.
Verse 52. Many of the people, everyone who forsook the law, joined them, and they did evil in the land, just like they do today. All these Israelites are in these apostate churches. They're celebrating all this pagan garbage. They don't join us for the real feasts.
That's right.
They celebrate Easter and the Easter bunny and eggs and all the fertility
right.
symbols.
Right.
Verse 53. They drove Israel into hiding in every place of refuge they had.
Now, isn't this a precursor to the judgment day? Isn't this what the Feast of Tabernacles is all about? We're going to have to go into hiding when the wrath comes. So,
when the wrath comes,
yeah,
you know.
When the rats come,
I just make sure my sword is sharp.
Yeah, all right.
Verse 54. Now on the 15th day of Kislev, that's one of the months.
Mm-hmm.
In the 145th year, that's 167 BC, they erected a desolating sacrilege on the altar of burnt offering. They also built altars in the surrounding towns of Judah. Verse 55. And offered incense at the doors of the houses and in the streets. This is to pagan idols. Verse 56. The books of the law that they found, that would be the Torah, they tore to pieces and burned with fire. Verse 57, listen to this. Anyone found possessing the book of the covenant or anyone who adhered to the law was condemned to death by decree of the king. Now, didn't the Pope just say the Bible is of no effect, we're going to rewrite it?
Right.
Okay.
Right. History repeating itself.
You're going to do what you want. Verse 58. They kept using violence against Israel, against those who were found month after month in the towns. Those were the observant Israelites. They weren't beaten up on the ones that were paganized. They used violence against the faithful, like they're doing today. More to come, believe me.
That's right.
Verse 59, on the 25th day of the month, they offered sacrifice on the altar that was on top of the altar of burnt offering. Verse 60, according to the decree, they put to death the women who had their children circumcised.
Wow.
Verse 61. And their families and those who circumcised them, and they hung the infants from their mothers' necks. They killed the children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sounds like this is Wicca.
Right, this is what the Jews have done to our people.
Branch Davidians.
Yeah.
Killed the children. Oh, we're going to save the children. We're going to burn them.
I was just going to reference the Jews of Russia and the killing of 100 million Christians there by our people have had to endure this for generations. When are we going to wake up and realize who the enemy is? Back to you.
Yep. Well, here we go. This describes us. Verse 62. But many in Israel stood firm and were resolved in their hearts not to eat unclean food.
Amen. All right.
Verse 63. They chose to die rather than to be defiled by food or to profane the holy covenant. And they did die. And what did Yeshua say? Occupy even until death.
Amen. Amen.
Occupy until the end, even until death. Because you'll be back and they won't.
Yeah, right.
Very great wrath came upon Israel, not from Yahweh, but from these evil people. Now we're into chapter 2. Okay,
hold on.
Let's make some comments here.
Right. Yeah. First of all, this what we just read proves 100% the exclusivity of the Israel message in the Apocrypha. Okay, the Jews are constantly insisting, and this comes straight from the mouth of who is their chief rabbi. What was his name? In the 1930s, who said, some call it communism, I call it Judaism, right? Well, they claim...
Rabbi Snarkowitz.
Stephen Wise, Rabbi Stephen Wise. He claimed that when the Judahites returned from Babylon, and those are also righteous Judahites, that they invented a new religion, and they no longer obeyed the laws of the Torah. Well, this is absolute proof that he is a liar.
Yeah. They, the Edomites, invented this new religion called Judaism.
That's right.
And it is not Judaism. It is Talmudism.
Amen. Yeah. Here's the statement here. The return from Babylon and the adoption of the Babylonian Talmud marks the end of Hebrewism and the beginning of Judaism. This is according to Rabbi Stephen F. Wise, chief rabbi of the United States. Now, let's analyze this. He's talking about the return from Babylon. So, Pastor Steve, who returned from Babylon? Was it a mixed multitude, or was it pure Judahites?
It was a mixed multitude.
No.
The
42,000.
Because they seated in amongst them.
Okay, well, that was what...
When they had moved true Judahites out.
Right.
Brought the others in. And they had brought some with them. And they brought the Babylonian Talmud with them.
Okay, yeah, that's according to Stephen F. Wise. But the Bible tells us that the 42,000 who returned from with Ezra and Nehemiah, they kept the law.
But there were more than 42,000. They put some of these Babylonian mixed breeds in with them. Just like in the Exodus, it was not all pure Israel.
Okay. Well, that's not how I read it. We're told that the 42,000 came were all pure-blooded Judahites. Now, there may have been renegades among those, but they were all pure-blooded Judahites. Okay. And they caused to happen a new... a revival of the Torah, and that's why the first thing they did was to reestablish the feast days. Ezra and Nehemiah reestablished the feast days. So my point being is that they reestablished the feast days. They did not invent the Talmud yet. That came later.
No, that was later.
Yeah, that was later. So what he's trying to do, he's confounding history, because the Talmud was invented by the Pharisees in the first century B.C., not by the returning Judahites from Babylon.
Well, there are two Talmuds. There's a Babylonian Talmud and a Jerusalem Talmud.
Right, right. Yes, yes. And the Babylonian Talmud is obviously older, okay?
And much longer, and they keep adding to it.
Right. So what he's saying is that these Judahites who returned from Babylon brought the Talmud with him, and I'm saying that's incorrect. They brought the Torah with them. And it may have been corrupted by their, you know, because there were Edomites, the Assyrians had placed Edomites and Sephardics and Canaanites and others into Jerusalem after the Judahites left. But 70 years later, the returnees were all pure Judah, and Ezra and Nehemiah reinstituted the law, not the Talmud. Okay, that's the point that I'm trying to get at. So Judaism did not begin with the return from Babylon. It began when, in the days of Herod,
Brother Hebert, he has a pertinent comment here.
Okay.
They had to get rid of the strange wives and children.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So some mixed were with them. That's what I'm telling you. They had so many pure-blooded Judahites, but they had mixed bloods among them.
Well, what I'm saying is that they mixed with these women later, after returning from Babylon. They didn't bring them with them, okay? So that's my perspective, all right? But nevertheless, they did mix with these women, and they had to put them away. Again, which proves my point that Ezra and Nehemiah instituted the Torah, not the Talmud.
Right.
They did. Thank you, Brother Hebert.
Okay. Well, I love the chat room and the people in there.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah. But see, the Jews are always trying to confound this history and substitute their myths and fables instead of the actual history. So if First Maccabees is giving us this actual history as it happened without commentary from Jews. It's not a Jewish book. The Apocrypha are not Jewish literature. We cannot stress this enough.
They are not. They are historical references about Israel.
Amen. Amen. Okay, with about 9 minutes left, why don't we start chapter 2?
All right. This is Mattathias and his sons. This is the second, that's the title here. Verse 1 of chapter 2. In those days, Mattathias, son of John. Okay, that's
Johann.
Johanan.
Yeah.
Son of Simeon, or Shimeon, mm-hmm. a priest of the family of Joarib, or Joarib, moved from Jerusalem and settled in Modain. He had 5 sons. John, surnamed Gadi, Simon called Tasi, or Thasi, Judas, okay, mm-hmm. That would be Yahuda,
right,
called Maccabeus.
Right. Yeah, the name would be Yuda, not Judas. Judas is a Hellenization of Yuda.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Verse 5. Eleazar called Averon, and Jonathan called Apphus. Verse 6. He saw the blasphemies being committed in Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 7. And said, this is another poem here.
Right.
Alas, why was I born to see this? The ruin of my people, the ruin of the holy city, and to live there when it was given over to the enemy, the sanctuary given over to aliens.
Sounds just like Ezra, does he not?
Mm-hmm. Verse 8, her temple has become like a person without honor, and they have the meaning of the Greek uncertain here.
Uh-huh. My translation says
it
glory.
It has been just dishonored, okay?
Yes, right.
Verse 9, her glorious vessels have been carried into exile. They were stolen. Her infants have been killed in her streets. Her youths by the sword of the foe.
It's happening again today, folks. Our Israel nations are being attacked by Jewslims, and our people don't even know it. And most of our people are welcoming these Jewslims.
Well, verse 10, what nation has not inherited her palaces or had not had a part in her kingdom? Okay. There's 2 versions of that. And has not seized her spoils.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, what nation hasn't taken from us, stolen from us, and destroyed
right.
us?
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's still
that's
happening
right.
today.
Yeah, well, everybody rips us off.
Yeah, that's right.
Verse 11. All her adornment has been taken away. They stole all the decorations off the temple. No longer free, she has become a slave.
Mm. Mm.
Verse 12. And see, our holy place, our beauty, and our glory have been laid waste. The Gentiles, or the nations, or Greeks, have profaned them. Verse 13. Why should we live any longer? Verse 14. Then Mattathias and his sons tore their clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned greatly. So we've got about mm-hmm. 6 minutes.
Yes.
I don't want to get into the next section because it's a long section.
Right, yeah.
Goes all the way to chapter 3. So we can stop here.
Yes.
And right at verse 15, we'll okay. take that up next week. This is going to be a nice
right.
study.
Yes.
It's really going to be dandy because
yeah.
it's just full of all. It's very meaty.
Right.
it's got a lot of information. It's got a lot of history. It explains a lot of things that went on between the so-called testaments.
Right. Right. And we're going to prove directly from, and as we have been from all of our apocryphal studies, that the Israelites kept the law faithfully throughout the intertestamental period.
They sure did.
Okay. Now, anybody who says otherwise, such as Rabbi Wise, is a liar. These people are liars because all you have to do is read these books for yourself to get the proof. In fact, in an upcoming chapter, it states very clearly that the Israelites refused to circumcise non-Israelite men. Okay? That's how much they valued the law. So anybody who says that these apocryphal books are just, they're interesting and maybe have some historical value, but nothing more than that. They're idiots, fools, and Judeo-Christians.
They are deceivers.
They are deceivers. Thank you. That's what they are. So, folks, this is what we're dealing with in terms of modern Judeo-Christianity, which I have to stress to any white nationalists who may be tuning in, we disavow their teachings entirely. They have been Judaized. Christian identity is the only understanding of Scripture which has not been Judaized and never will be Judaized.
The Bible is not a Jewish book. Christian identists are not Jewish. We're not trying to be Jews. We're trying to be Israelites, which is what we are.
That's right.
We're going back to Yahweh worship, which is proper.
And Yahweh is not an evil God.
We are not adopting Jewish practices.
Yeah, we're demolishing Jewish practices. That's what we're doing. We're not adopting them. So,
we would not have all the flack that we are getting if we were going along with the Jews, because they're not giving the Judeo-Christians
half the flack they give us.
Any trouble right now?
Yeah.
That's coming later, because they'll want to kill them too. Anything to do with Christianity, the Jews hate. They hate them too.
Yes.
It's just that they're a little bit busy with us right now.
Right. Well, why did the ADL designate my other website, anglo-saxonisrael.com, the most anti-Semitic website on the net? Why would they do that? Right? It's because we tell the truth about
them. I'm on the ADL's most wanted list, have been for years, one of the 10 most dangerous people in the country.
Hooray!
That's what they call me.
You made the grade, Pastor Steve.
that's what they say about me. I'm still listed. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, what can I say? Such a deal I got for you. Oy, it's wonderful I got such a deal.
Yes. Well, I've never had to go to prison for my Christian identity beliefs, but I have been attacked many times, right? So
I was attacked and I defended, so then I went to the joint. I'm not ashamed of that.
No. You're a Maccabee.
Well, I'm a Maccabee.
There you go. Know, whatever. All right, folks.
I'm a macaroon.
All right, folks. We've run out of time. We finally got this show going today. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you all next time.
Praise Yahweh.